To God. I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. We're looking at covenant blessings of a covenant keeper. And, you know, these things are progressive and they tie together one to another. And, you know, When you agree to God's covenant, when you to agree to his terms, when you meet his conditions, he promises to bless you, you know, with things like peace, direction, wisdom, favor, family life, fruitfulness, healing, deliverance, prosperity, protection, and praise. All right, there's lots of things that we can benefit from in keeping God's covenant. And in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, you know, last week we talked about wisdom, and this week we're going to talk about the favor of God. With wisdom comes favor. Amen? How many has ever asked someone for a favor? Right? You've asked them to do something for you that would benefit you in some way, and but we have a God who shows favor. Say, I'm God's favorite.
I'm God's favorite.
Amen. You are. You got to believe it. And in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, it says, his anger endures but a moment. In his favor is life. I want you to pay close attention to that phrase. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Aren't you glad that God only gets angry for a moment? And maybe you spend a lot of time weeping, but there's joy coming. You've got joy scheduled in the morning. Amen? But in his favor is life. Imagine the people in the Bible who were marked by God's favor. I want you to be a person who's marked by God's favor. And see, favor can increase. You know, we know Samuel, he grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and man. So did Jesus. So favor is something that can increase in your life. Favor is something that God gives to you. It's a divine gift of God, and it goes with you. All right? Sometimes it goes ahead of you. What happens when favor goes ahead of you? It prepares things so that when you're following God, he has stuff prepared ahead of you. You know, I learned from my sister, my oldest sister. I have two sisters. My oldest sister was the one who led me to the Lord. And she was a registered nurse. And she was living at home because in my parents' home, they had like, it used to be my mom's beauty shop. But we made it into like, it was like its own apartment. So my sister had her own apartment that was attached to the house. She was a registered nurse, but she felt a call of God to go to the Philippines. And in going to the Philippines, she was going to be gone for 6 months. She had to give up her good job that she had, all right? And she was going because God called her. But when she went there, you know, she it wasn't easy. She encountered some problems and some challenges. But when she got there, there was someone there who was directing the base. He was a man by the name of Kel Steiner. And, you know, a long story short, God worked it out for our family to go to Hawaii at the same time that my sister was going to be there. Okay? And we hadn't seen her in months because she was doing her DTS in the Philippines. And so all she could talk about was this man that she met. And they eventually got married, and they've been married for many years now, have three wonderful kids. But what that taught me is this. When you go to somewhere where you're following God, God has blessings assigned to you on his path. All right? And favor is one of those blessings. And in the Bible, you know, there were many people that were marked by God's favor. And it was the favor of God that made the difference in their life. It was the favor of God that worked in them, that brought promotion, that brought wealth, that brought all kinds of things. Say, I want God's favor in my life. Well, you can have it. God wants to give it to you, and we're going to talk about how to obtain it in a moment. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, another word for favor is God's grace. And how many know God's grace is awesome? And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. He said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." How did grace work in Paul's life? Grace brought him from being a murderer to an apostle. Amen? And God's favor worked in his life to prepare the way for him. And he said, "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Notice the grace of God was with him. It was the grace of God that was working in him. It was God's favor, God's strength, God's ability, God's power that was working in him. And it wants to work in you too. Then he said in verse 11, "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." And we know that Paul was a success, right? He started lots of churches. He preached the gospel to the unknown world. And God used him mightily, and that was because of the grace of God. Now go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. You know, if you want God's favor in your life, you're going to have to become passionate about God's plan and purpose for you and in this world. Amen? Amen? Now, in Exodus 3, there's a story about a man named Moses. And Moses grew up in Egypt, spent 40 years there. Then he killed a man, so he was a wanted man. So then he left Egypt and spent 40 years leading sheep in the desert. And it was at this time where he encountered God. And God appeared to him in a burning bush, and the bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning. Now, if you saw something on fire, but the thing that was on fire wasn't burning, you know, that would catch your attention. Moses said, "I'm going to go check this out." And God knows how to get God knows how to get a hold of me. Even if you were in the middle of the desert, God knows exactly where you are. All right? And, God had to convince Moses to participate with his plan, didn't he? God said, "I heard the cry of my people Israel in Egypt. I've seen their oppression, and I know their sorrows." God sees, God hears, and God knows what's going on in your life. Amen? And he told Moses, he said, "I've come down to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, and I'm sending you." Now, Moses said, "Wait a minute, God, wait. Are you sure you have the right guy?" I'm just paraphrasing. You know, Moses gave several excuses, but we're not going to go into those excuses that he gave. But my point is, God had a plan for Moses. God wanted to show him favor. God wanted to manifest his goodness. God wanted to display his loving kindness to Moses. But in order for Moses to be a recipient of that, he had to participate in God's plan. And after answering all of his excuses, all right, when you get to heaven, ask if it's fruitful to argue with God. You can ask Moses when you get there. Amen? Say, "How was it when you argued with God, you know? How'd that work out, you know, not too well?" God never loses an argument. Amen? Now look at verse 21. Exodus 3, verse 21. God told Moses, after Moses agreed to participate with his plan, he said, "And I will give this people favor." Everybody say favor. "In the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourners in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians." Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to see what favor will do. See, Moses was marked for favor. He was a candidate for the favor of God, just like you and I are. Anyone who believes in God is a candidate for God's favor. All right? And if you want God's favor in your life, you're going to see how to make that happen. But notice, favor he gave to Moses will be seen by others. He said, the Egyptians will see. I'm going to give you favor, and the Egyptians will see. Okay? I'll give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Then we see that favor put something in their hand. Said, you're not going to go empty-handed. You're not going to leave this place empty. Why? Because of the favor of God. The favor that God was going to give the Israelites was going to cause good things to their behalf. It was going to cause things to work out well for them. Amen? You know, even though Israel spent 400 years in slavery, they were about to get their back wages right now. And the favor of God was going to bring about their back wages. Another thing I saw about favor is something that God gives you and you participate with. Notice, God gave them favor, but they had to ask their neighbors. See, if you want the favor of God, you got to participate with God. You know, favor just doesn't get poured on you, but it works in you. It works through you. And it causes others to help you. It causes others to bless you. Amen? Favor is awesome. Then, he said, you're going to ask of these jewels, and you're going to put them on your sons and your daughters. Favor blesses your children. The favor that God gives you will pour out to your children, out to your family. How many know Lot was blessed because he was hanging around with Abraham? He wasn't blessed on his own, but he had a relationship with Abraham. And when Abraham's flocks grew and increased, Lot's flocks grew and increased. Amen? When Abraham was making money, Lot was making money. Why? Because of the favor of God that was on Abraham was affecting Lot. And they got to the point where they had too many sheep, too many cows, too many herds, and they were conflicting because there wasn't enough space. Can you imagine having so many herds that there's not enough space for two different companies to participate together? But I want you to see that favor on you will bless your family. He told them to ask jewels, and he told them to put the jewels on their kids. Amen? That's awesome. And then I saw that favor plunders enemies. God said, you shall spoil or plunder the Egyptians. All right? Go to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. And look at verse 3. And the Lord gave the people what? Favor. Say, God gives me favor. In the sight of the Egyptians, moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. What made him so great? It was the favor of God. What kept him? Every time he appeared before Pharaoh, how come Pharaoh couldn't imprison him? How come Pharaoh couldn't kill him? Because favor was working on his behalf. Amen? Moses would walk into Pharaoh's court as God's favorite. The favor would go before Moses. He'd say, let my people go. Pharaoh would say, no. Moses would say, okay, it doesn't matter because I got God's favor. We got God's favor. You know, and you know, he had to perform 10 plagues before Pharaoh decided to let the people go. How many know you got to work the favor? Amen? Just because you don't see it working once doesn't mean to quit. But favor will plunder your enemies. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. That's gold, silver, jewelry, and clothes. Who told them to get these things? Say, God wants me to have gold. Come on. God wants me to have gold. God wants me to have silver. God wants me to have clothes. And how many know if you don't have those, he can get them to you? You understand that Israel were slaves. They didn't own anything in Egypt. They had nothing. But God gave them everything. What was the difference? It was the favor that was placed on them by God. Can you say amen? So I want you to be a person that's marked by God's favor. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33. You might find that I'm not following the bulletin. I'll get there, but God had me, during worship, God's having me change the course of direction. And I'm willing to go, amen? Exodus 33. Look at verse 13. We're going to read 13 to 20. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight. That's another word for favor. You know, favor has to be found. Amen? And you find favor in God. Okay? Show me your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you and will give you rest. And he said unto him, if your presence does not go with me, carry us not from here. I like Moses. He wasn't going to go anywhere without the presence of God. He said, if your presence isn't going, I'm not moving. You know, we need to be like that. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you need to tell God, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not getting out of this bed. Amen? You've got to get up in God's presence. You've got to go in God's presence. You've got to work or do whatever it is you need to do in God's presence. You've got to come home and eat in God's presence. You've got to go to bed in God's presence. In other words, you should never get out of God's presence. And Moses is making this choice. And he said unto him, you know, verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? How are we going to know, Lord, if we found favor? What's it going to look like if I found favor in your sight? Is it not that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of this earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing. Say, God will do this thing. If you're serious about acquiring favor today, God will give it. God is serious about getting it to you. Do you see how willing God is to give God to, or to give Moses favor? He's not, you know, God doesn't withhold things from us when we are truly seeking him and asking him with a sincere and genuine heart. God is a liberal giver. God, when he gives things to us, he gives them freely. He gives them liberally. He gives more than we could ask or think. Amen? I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. God, Moses was asking God if he found grace, and God is telling him, you found grace in my sight. You know, I'm just going to take a side note here. But if you want to find the favor of God, all you have to do is come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. Grace is found at God's throne. And if you know Jesus Christ, you can come in there anytime you need to. Amen? Favor, there's a blue light special on favor today. It's available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, year after year after year, good for a lifetime plus. Amen? God wants to shower you with his favor. Verse 18, and he said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness, that's another word for favor, is God's goodness, pass before you. In other words, God's favor is going to go before you. You know, if you got to go, if you're going to go to the mall sometime soon, send God's favor and say, Lord, open up a good parking spot for me. And the whole while you're there, you need to be saying, thank you, Lord, for this good parking place. Thank you, Lord, for this good. If you've sent your favor, you got to believe it's sent. Amen. If you ask God to do something, you're not going to get a response like the computer says, failure to send. You're not going to get an error that says, did not send. Would you like to retry? You're not going to get that with God. So I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Another word for God's favor. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So here what we see in God's favor is God's favor comes with his presence. It produces rest. It means God is with you. It distinguishes you. When favor comes upon you, you're going to be set apart from others. In other words, favor is a distinguishing mark. And I got to tell you, favor isn't fair. Or like the one preacher said, favor ain't fair. Amen? Listen, you can't get upset because God is good to someone else and not you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Say, God is no respecter of persons. You need to ask the person whom God is being good to, what did you do for God to do that for you? You need to find out why God is so good. Because I'm God's favorite. Yeah. Amen? Tomorrow when you wake up, look in the mirror and smile real big and say, I'm God's favorite. Amen. So it means God is with you. It means you're distinguished. Favor came from asking. Favor involves God's goodness. It proclaims God's name, and it releases God's grace and compassion in your life. Whoo, that's some good stuff. That's all from favor. How full is your favor tank today? Well, you're in the filling station today. If your favor's been running low, you can tank up. It's free. Amen? It's not going to cost you a thing. All you got to do is ask and believe. And favor will come. Favor will work on your behalf. Go to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 9. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her, besides her allowance. Then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house of the women. All right? You know, Esther had a response. She was in a beauty pageant. And whoever was going to win this beauty pageant was going to become the next queen of Persia. And every woman had an opportunity to impress the king. And so they were all trying to find things on their own. But you know what Esther did? She inquired of the person who was given to her to oversee her. All right, his name was Haggai. Haggai, I don't know how to say it correctly. And she inquired of him about what she should do to please the king. You know, she didn't rely on herself to do it, but she asked someone who knew the king. She asked someone who was familiar, who knew what the king liked. And how many know that what Haggai was to Esther, the Holy Spirit is to us. We have God's Spirit who knows the heart of the king. He knows what pleases the king. And he will instruct you and lead you and guide you as to how to please the king. And when Esther did that, what did she do? She found favor. And we know the story of Esther, right? She risked her life to save her people. Because in that culture, if you were going to approach the king, he had to summon you. And if he didn't summon you and you came before the king, that meant death. And, you know, Esther told Mordecai, if I perish, I perish, right? So what did she do? She went before the king when she wasn't summoned before the king. But what happened? He extended the scepter to her. She found favor. That and the favor gave her access to the king. And if you read that story, the king loved Esther above all the other women. In other words, favor so distinguished Esther. It set her up into a solitary place where she was apart from the crowd. It was because of the favor that God gave her. Esther was a woman who was marked by the favor of God. And it was the favor of God that worked in her life to get her to where she needed to be. Can you say amen? Come on, ladies, I think we got some Esthers in here. You know, maybe you need to soak in God's oil for months like Esther did. Soak in spices like Esther did, amen? I mean, she soaked in spices and oil for months. If I'd have done that, I'd have been looking like a prune. I'd have been a Polish prune, you know? Go with me to the book of Daniel. Chapter 1. Daniel. Chapter 1. What are we talking about? We're talking about people whose lives were marked by the favor of God. And the favor of God worked in these people's lives to promote them, to help them, to bless them, to increase them. And it all has to do with the favor of God. And I want you to be someone who's marked by God's favor. I want you to leave this place today expecting good things to happen to you. Expecting things to work out on your behalf. You know, how did the favor of God work out in Moses' life? Well, he delivered the people. They plundered the Egyptians. They walked through the Red Sea. They survived the wilderness for 40 years. I think the favor of God did a pretty good job. I mean, if it can do that to people that don't even have the Holy Spirit in them, what can the favor of God do to us who have the Holy Spirit in us? So much more. So much more. Yeah, Daniel 1. Daniel 1 and verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, was Daniel in his home country? No. He was in a foreign land. He was exiled from his own country because his country got invaded by the Babylonians. Okay? And Daniel was part of a study the king wanted some young men who he could train in all the sciences and all the arts of Babylon, and so that he could become a wise man, like an advisor and different things like that. Now look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Once again, who gave him the favor? That favor caused someone near him to like him, to help him, to bless him, to do things for him that they wouldn't normally do for someone else. You know what? The favor of God will cause your enemies to smile at you. If you read about Jehoshaphat, the Bible said that the Philistines sent him gifts. That was the favor of God. You know, when your enemy sends you gifts, you're in the favor of God. Amen? The enemy's saying, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just feel compelled. Oh, that's the favor of God. That's God's favor working. God brought Daniel into favor. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the other children who are of your sort? Then shall he make me endanger my head to the king. Look, this guy said, look, I'm a little bit concerned about this, Daniel. I don't understand this stuff, and my head is on the line, literally. And, Daniel said, well, you just prove your servants. How many know that Daniel had confidence in the favor of God? Daniel knew that things would work out for him no matter what came against him. He was just resting in, favor is like a recliner. The favor of God is like a recliner. And what do you do in the recliner? You just stretch back. You kind of sink down when you sit. You got that thing that extends. You can put your legs up and you can just lean it back. And if you're not careful, you'll start making music in a few minutes. Oh, not everybody makes music. I guess I make music. Snoring? I just wish that God would give my snoring favor and it'd be beautiful music, Look at verse 15. I want you to see what the favor of God did for Daniel. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. In other words, that's telling me that the favor of God distinguished them from others. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 4. It was God gave them favor, and it was the favor of God. Now notice, they were faithful. They purposed in their heart that they weren't going to defile themselves, and they didn't. And, if you want to keep the favor flowing, you got to keep following God. Amen? The favor will flow as you are following God. The moment you stop following God, the favor stops. God wants you to have favor, but he also wants you to do what he says too. Favor comes with obedience. Favor comes with walking with God and doing his will. And look at verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions, not just some, all. They had divine knowledge and skill in all learning, not just some learning, all learning. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Were they not distinguished from the others? And it was all because of the favor that God gave them. So favor is a covenant blessing. And if you keep God's covenant, if you let him write his laws on your hearts, Amen? And if you let his laws change your behavior, then you have an open invitation for favor to come upon you, and favor will do things that labor can't do. 1,000 hours of labor cannot be compared to 1 moment of favor. God will make things happen on your behalf just because of his favor, because he likes you. Say, God loves me. You got to believe that. You got to believe that God loves you. He loves you. What else does he have to do to show you that he loves you? I mean, he sent his only son. His son died for you. His son took our sin. His son forgave us. There's nothing more that God can do to show you that he loves you. You got to be confident in his love for you. Say it again. Say, God loves me. He does. So they stood before the king, verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. Can you say 10 times? Will favor multiply some things in your life? How did you learn how to do that? It's the favor of God. They said about Peter and John, who are these ignorant and unlearned fishermen? But they knew that they'd been with Jesus. They'd been with the source of favor. Amen? And that favor affected their life. 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Do you know how vast this realm was? And the favor takes these four people and distinguishes them above all the others. And it causes people around them to do things for them that they wouldn't normally do for others. That's the favor of God at work. Glory to God. You know, there was a little girl in Jerusalem. Her name was Mary. What did the angel say about Mary? Mary, you are what? You are highly favored of God. And it was the favor that she had from God that caused a divine encounter with the Holy One. And she became pregnant by the Spirit of God, and as the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and the power of God came on her, she became pregnant and gave birth to the Messiah. It was by the favor of God. She was highly favored. How did she get that way? She had a habit of going before God's throne. You read, Noah found favor in God's sight. How did he find favor? Because he was the only one in his generation that would call upon God. He was the only one that had a relationship with God. And because he had a relationship with God, he found favor in God's sight. And favor rescued him and his family from destruction. I want you to see the power that favor has in our life. Say, I am marked with God's favor. You do. You have a special mark on you today. Why? Because you're here listening to these words. Do you realize that right now, faith for favor is coming to your heart? How does faith come? By hearing what? Are you hearing the word about favor? So then you have faith to receive favor. Amen? That's how it works. Go with me to Genesis 39. We'll look at one more example. Say this, if God did it for Daniel, he can do it for me. If God did it for Esther, he can do it for me. If God did it for Moses, he can do it for me. You believe that? I believe it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be telling you it. I wouldn't be saying it, right? One more example. Genesis 39. Look at verses 2 through 4. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's a distinguishing mark of favor that God is with him. And he was a prosperous man. Now, wait a minute. Wait. Let me get this straight in my mind. What was Joseph's occupation? He was a slave. How many prosperous slaves do you know? You know, rich people have butlers, but the butler doesn't own the home. He gets to work in the home, but he doesn't own the home, right? Joseph was a butler, but yet the Bible said he was a prosperous man. Why? Because the favor of God was with him. Woo, when the favor gets on your case, you're going to win that every case. Amen? Amen? Let the favor go with you. Let the favor follow you. Let the favor go before you. Surround yourself. Take a bath tonight. Take a shower tonight in the favor of God. Let God just pour his favor on you. Jump in God's favor. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, an Egyptian, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Favor will be evidenced by others. Others will say, look, there's something about you. I don't know what it is. It's the favor of God. But whatever it is, keep doing it. Okay, I'll let the favor of God keep going. Amen. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Say, favor prospers. It doesn't really matter what you believe about it. This is the word of God. God is the one who's saying this. It's a truth. And Joseph found grace or favor in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hands. So Joseph, who was sold into slavery, but there was a distinguishing mark about Joseph. From the time he was born, his father gave him a coat of many colors. Do you know what? That coat symbolizes the favor of God. God was marking Joseph through his father Jacob, and he put that coat on, and he would walk on that coat. God wants you to wear favor like Joseph wore that coat. Amen? He wants you to put it on. He wants you to walk in it. He wants you to take it with you wherever you go. And it was the favor of God that worked on Joseph's behalf. Most of his brothers wanted to kill him, except one decided to save him. So they threw him in a pit. Then while the one who wanted to save him left, the others sold him into slavery. At least they didn't kill him. But when he got to where he was, the favor of God began to work. And we saw evidence of the favor of God. Potiphar saw the favor of God. He might have not understood what it was, but he saw it working in Joseph's life. He saw the results that favor produced. And how did Joseph? Joseph kept a good attitude. Joseph served. Joseph didn't complain. How many know? Every time you complain, you diminish your favor. Uh-oh. Well, you know, God views complaining as against him. You don't believe me? When the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron, God said, I heard your complaints about me. No, we were complaining about Moses and Aaron. No, you're complaining about me. Zip the complaints. You know, if you want to complain, go ahead, but you're not going to have any favor. Your favor will be stopped through complaining, murmuring, grumbling. I didn't say that. The Lord said it. Amen? You know, you got to participate with the favor of God. Hallelujah. Well, how do you activate this favor? Well, we already mentioned one. You gotta become passionate about God's purpose and plan. All right? You gotta promote God's interests. How many know God will favor those who promote his interests? What is God interested in? What? Saving souls. When we become interested and passionate about promoting the saving of souls, God's gonna show us favor. Why? Because that's his interest. That's his heart. Jesus came, why? To seek and save that which was lost. So we need to get a passion about witnessing. And just all you got to do is tell people what God's done for you. Amen? Forget all this mumbo jumbo about, I don't have the words to say, or I'm afraid of this or that. Listen, God's in you. He'll help you. He'll work through you. Settle it. and become passionate about promoting his interests. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Did you know that being a good steward will invoke God's favor? What's a steward? A steward is a manager. Let me ask you this question. How many things of yours are yours? Nothing. Amen. You get 100%. You get a smiley face. That's the right answer. None of what we have is ours. Well, yes, it is. I signed my name on the mortgage. No, 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 no. Who gave you the ability to get that? Who gave you the mind? Who gave you everything else, huh? It all belongs to God. And God lets us enjoy things, but he wants us to be stewards of them. Matthew 6, 33, a familiar scripture. But seek first, everybody say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you're going to seek his kingdom, which involves the king, which is Jesus. And you're going to seek his righteousness, which is his way of doing things. Amen? And all these things shall be added unto you. What all things? All things, food, clothing, shelter. Isn't that what the Israelites got? They got food, clothing, shelter, and gold too from Egypt. And even when they were in the wilderness, when they lacked food, God gave them food. When they wanted meat, God sent quails. When they were hungry for bread, God rained down bread from heaven. Favor. Favor is God's goodness on display. Favor is God's loving kindness. But you got to be a steward. You want to have everything added to you? Put God first. Everybody say first. Now, can we get into this for a moment? Some are thinking, I know, Pastor, I don't want you to go there. You're talking about my money. I guard my money. It's my money. No, it's not. It's not your money. You have a pile of bills in one stack, and you have God's command to tithe in the other. Which one is first? Tithe. But if I tithe, I won't have money. I won't have enough money to pay my bills. Oh, yeah, because when you tithe, God blesses the rest. Now, if you want to keep 100% unblessed, that's your choice. But I'd rather keep 90% blessed and give the 10% that belongs to God. I'd rather give it to him, and then all these things will be added to me. Amen. Moving right along. You know, you got to sow favor. Did you know that what you sow, you will reap? When you sow goodness, you reap goodness. When you sow kindness, you reap kindness. When you do something good for someone over here, God will do something good for you over here. Amen? It works. It's reciprocal. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. You know, I love you, right? And I got to share the word, even the parts that you don't like, along with the parts that you like, right? Proverbs 11 and 27. 11:27. He that diligently seeks good, what? Procures favor. But he that seeks mischief, it shall come unto him. Well, if you're seeking to do good, you know, to do good, to be good, you're seeking good, you're going to procure favor. You're going to get favor. Why? Because God is good. Do you know that we serve a good God? He's not a bad God. He's a good God. Goodness and mercy, he wants to follow you all the days of your life. If you're a pet lover, name your pets goodness and mercy. And whenever you call them, come on, goodness and mercy, you got goodness and mercy following you. Amen? But our God is good. And when you seek good, you're in line with God and you'll get favor. But if you're seeking mischief, you're going to find mischief. You got to sow favor. Mike Murdoch said this, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Did not Joseph serve Potiphar? And in serving Potiphar, God showed him favor. He ended up ruling the nation. He procured favor. You know, he didn't complain about his situation. He didn't complain about the things that happened to him. You know, we don't have evidence of that. But, in a sense we do, because God doesn't hang out with complainers. If Joseph was complaining, we wouldn't read scriptures like God was with him. It would not, it's like oil and water, okay? So he sowed for favor. Joseph served. He served diligently. He served well. He had good, positive results. All that went to him having an abundance of favor. And we know for at least 14 plus years, he ran Egypt's finances, the whole nation. Hallelujah. Do unto others as you would have what? Them do unto you. That doesn't mean that the ones you are doing good to, you're going to receive good from them, but God will send someone else to be good to you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Isn't that like a golden rule or something like that? Another way to activate favor, ask for it. When, you know, come before God's throne, that's talking about prayer. You know, Moses asked if he found grace in God's sight, and God said, yes, you found grace in my sight. Have a conversation with God. Pray, and God will give you favor. You can ask for it. Do you realize Israel prayed to be delivered, and God gave them favor and sent them a deliverer? That all came about by prayer. What did God? I heard their cry. Their cry was, God, save me! When Peter was walking on the water and he got his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink, what was his prayer? Help! I didn't know if he could swim or not. I don't know. I guess he could swim because he jumped out of the boat and swam to shore. But simple prayer. His life was in danger. He prayed to God. God showed him favor by his outstretched arm. Didn't let him drown. Didn't let him be overwhelmed by his circumstances. God will not let you be overwhelmed by your circumstances either. Stop trying to figure out your circumstances on your own and ask for help. Ask God for help. Say, God, help me. You know, God's given you a helper, the Holy Spirit. You know, do you realize if you want to keep your angels employed, pray. If you want to keep your angels unemployed, try to do things on your own. Here are the angels. What are you waiting for? We're waiting for orders. What are you doing? Just hanging around. The angels are drinking coffee. You know, waiting for you to pray. You're facing danger, and you're like, when are you going to pray? Ooh, you know, the angels are just like, oh. You know, but the moment you pray, phew, the angels are right there to help you. All it was a prayer away. A prayer away. You want favor? Ask God for favor. He wants to give it to you. Show me where someone asked for favor and God said, I don't think so. Huh? Do you realize even when you mess up and you ask God to forgive you, he'll restore his favor to you? Because he loves you so much. I'm having a good time with this today. Psalm 5:12 says, God blesses the righteous with favor. Go to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. Another thing that activates the favor of God is the anointing of God. The power of God. How many know that God's a powerful God? And what his anointing does is nothing that we can do ourselves. The anointing is simply God's power, and when you need it, he transfers it to you. That's why we invite people to come up front. You'll be invited to come up front today to receive of the anointing. Amen? It's certainly not from me, okay? Even though I am anointed, but it's God's power coming to you, and he uses the medium of laying on of hands to make that transfer. Psalm 45 and verse 8. All your garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. See, the anointing is like a garment. And the anointing will make you smell good. It'll make you feel good. It'll give you joy. And he's talking about like a garment that smells of myrrh. Those are good spices, all right? And the anointing will come on you like a garment. And how many know that when you put on a new item of clothing, it makes you feel good? You know, it's like you put on a new, it puts a strut in your step, you know? What happened? I just put something new on. Ooh, it feels good. You know, I look good. Well, it's the same thing when you receive of the anointing. When the anointing touches you, you're going to be like, "Woo! I feel good." No. Some of you know that, right? I didn't plan to do it. That's the Holy Spirit. The anointing of God. It'll make you feel like that. And with the anointing comes favor. The anointing comes on you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus walked around with an anointing. And anyone that needed that anointing could tap into it. Woman with the issue of blood. She's like, "Woo, I feel good." Oh, no. The moment she tapped into the anointing, virtue came out of him. That was the anointing of God. That was the favor of God. He said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." Favor, I mean, it comes through the anointing of God. God will anoint you with favor. Anointing is like when you put lotion on, all right? It's like when you soak yourself. The other day I was in the mall because Gabriel was at a thing with the Apple store there, and there was this lady who was selling these salts from the Dead Sea. And she said, "Try it." So she put a little salt in my hand and a little bit of water, and I rubbed it. I'm like, "Whoa, man, my hands felt like a baby." I'm like, I mean, they were soft. And she's like, "Yeah, all the minerals are removing all the dead skin." See, I anointed my hands. And because I anointed my hands, that anointing made the difference. You know, the anointing will make the difference in your own life too. But you got to be a person that's marked by the favor of God. You know, the favor of God is yours. But you have to receive it. You have to believe it. God doesn't give you favor based on your works. He gives you favor based on your faith. Because faith has its own works. When you're a person of faith, you're going to talk in a certain way. You're going to walk in a certain way. When you're a person of faith, depression is going to bounce off you like a rubber ball on a wall. When you're a person of faith, you're always expecting. When you're a person of faith, you've reached the cruising altitude. If you've ever flown, sometimes getting to the cruising altitude is bumpy. But once you get to the cruising altitude, it evens out, and that's when he says they take the signs off. You're free to move about the cabin. The seatbelt sign has been taken off by the captain. But you can't do that when you're in turbulent air. But see, the favor of God, right now, today, God wants to give you his favor. His favor will make the difference in your life. His favor will increase. His favor will do amazing things for you if you let it. And when you've got the favor of God, people will see it on you. They may not be able to explain it, but they'll see it. And it's almost like a tangible thing, you know, but it's God working. Say, I'm God's favorite. And maybe you're here today and you need to receive favor in your life. You need favor to work through you. You need favor to make divine connections with people. Maybe you're struggling at the workplace and you need God's favor to move to put you with the right people because maybe you were with the wrong people. How many of you know favor will get you with the right people and eliminate you from the wrong people? And you know, Daniel's friends, they couldn't figure out why he was so successful, but they hated him for it. They were jealous. They were envious. How could this guy who's not even a Persian get this position in this country? And they couldn't find a way to bring down Daniel. But all they knew about Daniel was he prayed. Daniel would pray 3-5 times a day. And they said, okay, I'll tell you what. We'll make a law that says you can't pray. And Daniel, as soon as he read the law, just pretend this is law. Daniel says, that's the law? Can't pray? I don't think so. He goes into his house. He opens up the windows. He opens up the doors. He says, Father God, I come before you in Jesus' name. He prays because he was not willing to compromise God's favor. How do you compromise God's favor? When you start obeying the world, you compromise God's favor. He said, I don't care if the king signs that law. Father, in Jesus' name, he prays. And when you know, they come to his house because they knew he'd be praying. How about you? Can you be accused by people who know you of someone who prays too much? Something to think about. And so what happened? He was sentenced to the lion's den. But when you got the favor of God, you can face lions. Daniel takes that lion. Oh, yes, God, it just, you know, like you beat your pillow. You know, when you lay down on the pillow, it's like a rock, and he takes that lion's mane, he sits in that. Why? He's got the favor of God. Because he knows that God's favor is his shield, God's favor is his protection, God's favor comes with, and he's sitting there on the lion. He has the best sleep ever. And the king, he's all worried, he stays up all night long. He runs to the entrance of the lion's den, and he goes, Daniel, Daniel. He says, yes, my king. What about the guys who put Daniel in? The minute they were thrown to the lions, they were torn to pieces before they ever hit the ground. See, when you don't have favor, the devil will tear you to pieces. But when you got God's favor, you'll be kept safe. Amen? So who needs to benefit from God's favor today? I'd like to pray for you and release the anointing for favor today. And if you need favor in your life, you can come get some today. Amen? Now, the best way to get favor in your life is to be born again. It's not about going to church. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. And if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord of your life, you've never invited him into your heart to be your Savior, that's the first step in getting God's favor. Amen? All of God's favor is wrapped up in Jesus. And if you need to be born again today, I would love to introduce you to Jesus. He's the best friend you'll ever have. And if you don't know where you're going to go, if something were to happen to you, make Jesus your Savior today. Don't leave without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Is there anybody here who says, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior, and I would like to? Everybody here knows Jesus. You know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know that if something were to happen to you, you would spend the rest of your time in heaven. Amen? Well, that's good. But that tells us that are here, we got to invite more lost people. Amen? I love saved people, but we got to bring in. Listen, you got to bring in the lost people. Only on rare occasions will they come in here, but you got to bring them in. So let's get involved in bringing in the lost. And the rest of you, if you need a touch from God's favor, why don't you come up today? And I'd love to pray for you and release God's favor on your behalf. Amen. God's favor. I'm going to do this fast.